Good evening, good evening, good evening. I tell you, it has been a journey getting here tonight. They had every freeway shut down on 20 and on 360. And if there was ever a trifecta, I felt it tonight. But hey, it is that time of the night, and it is time for my show, You Better Call Kim. And we are opening the lines. The number is 214-717-4678. So if you're listening, you want to encourage me, because I'm a little frazzled right now, but I'm here, and I'm going to take myself a few minutes to calm down after rushing through that traffic, and we're going to get this show on the road. Again, that number is 214-717-4678, and it is that time for You Better Call Kim. All right, tonight I have a special guest. We're going to start our show with our special guest. Her name is Miss Brenda Eldridge, and I didn't post this part because I wanted it to be a surprise to our listening audience. And we're going to start our show with a little bit of information about ADHD. And we all know that ADHD is something that is at the forefront of mental health right now, because a lot of children, a lot of young children that are in the school system, a lot of parents are, you know, kind of having to reset their lives because they are caring for someone with ADHD. And so we've invited Miss Brenda Eldridge. I'm going to call her Brenda because she's a classmate of mine, and we're both in this PhD program on this journey together. So, Brenda, if you could tell us a little bit about your story and why you're here tonight.
All right. Thank you, Kim. Thanks for letting me be here. I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. You and I are both licensed counselors, so, of course, we do come in contact with people who are dealing with ADHD themselves, yes. People who have a child that has ADHD. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I wanted to come and talk tonight. We are, our practice is bringing in a speaker that this is her specialty. Mm-hmm. She wants to encourage and educate people about ADHD. She's a mom herself. She's mm-hmm. watched her kids go through it and now off to college and just kind of wrestling with that. So we brought her in. She's going to be speaking for us on Saturday the 24th in Red Oaks. We're really excited. We wanted people to know about that. But that's kind of our story, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, where is your practice? Let's get that out of front.
Okay.
So,
Eldridge Counseling Associates, we have several different offices mm-hmm. in the South Dallas and Ellis County area. Mm-hmm. We partner with churches, mm-hmm. so churches let us use their offices, so we're able to keep our rates pretty reasonable for most folks.
Wonderful.
So we're really excited about that. People can go to EldridgeCounseling.com mm-hmm. or the Eldridge Counseling Facebook page and find out more about it. But, you know, that's our experience in our family, too, is ADHD. My husband was diagnosed late as an adult. Mm. Some people don't realize that the things they've been struggling with all their life mm-hmm. has a name. You know, they yes. just thought, hey, I struggle in school, or I can't get it together, or I just am, you know, forgetful, or I'm just ditzy, or whatever it is. I'm just not a good student. I'm stupid, even. Mm-hmm. They think these things because they've been struggling with ADHD symptoms all their life and didn't know it. So mm-hmm. a lot of times it's adults. Last year when we did this seminar, we had adults coming because their kids had been diagnosed mm-hmm. and they sat through it and went, this is me.
Wow.
And, I mean, we had one mom who just started crying, you know, because she realized, oh, my gosh, this is why I've been struggling all my life.
And I can label it.
Yeah. And it really gave mm-hmm. her some encouragement, even though she was crying. Mm-hmm. It gave her some encouragement that, oh, wow. Now I know I can do something about it, and then help my kids.
Yeah.
So we want parents to come. We want, you know, even Sunday school workers yeah. because they're working with kids. Mm-hmm. So we sent out some invitations just last night to a lot of churches for mm-hmm. children's pastors and saying, make sure mm-hmm. your Sunday school workers know, because mm-hmm. it helps us to have education.
Yeah.
To know about it, to know how to just maybe take a breath and go, okay, okay, you're not so bad after mm-hmm. all. Some mm-hmm. of what's going on, other people have dealt with.
Yes.
And then here's some tips to make it easier.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some tips to make it better. So that's mm-hmm. what we hope will happen on Saturday the 24th.
Yes, Saturday the 24th. Information is powerful.
Yes, absolutely.
It's life-changing. Once
yes.
you can label it and you can identify that this is what I'm going through,
mm-hmm.
it relieves some of that stress and that unknowing.
Yes.
And then you know how to deal with it. You
right.
know, one motto I always say, Brenda, is I can only use the information I have at the time that I have it in order to make a decision.
Yes.
And this is us giving them, or you, Eldridge Counseling.
Eldridge Counseling.
Mm-hmm. Eldridge Counseling. This is Eldridge Counseling providing that much-needed information for those who are living with ADHD,
yes.
those who are caring for ADHD. And, you know, I really love the part about opening up to the church. Anybody who knows me knows that my heart is the church.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
and I think, and as you know, my mission is to expand and to create access for mental health for these underserved communities.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a church on at least every block, two or three churches on every block. And in each of those churches, there's probably someone who's mm-hmm. struggling with ADHD.
Sure, sure. And you know what, Kim, I was just thinking just now as you were talking, for your listeners, tickets are available. They're $10 tickets. That's
yes.
all it is on mm-hmm. eventbrite.com.
Good.
But for your listeners, I'll go in tonight when I get home and I'll put in a discount code. And if they type in fishbowl, they can have 50% off that ticket price.
Hey, y'all can't beat that.
Yeah.
50% off,
off a $10 ticket.
Off a $10 ticket.
No,
so
you can't beat that.
If she hasn't made this thing if affordable and a must-do by doing this, I mean, you know, I know parents.
Right.
Parents who are struggling with mm-hmm. their children being in school, and the school system, you know, is not always
yeah.
equipped to
yeah.
to handle it or respond in the teachers as much as, you know, the training provides. They're
right.
not always trained to identify it and to work with these students. So sometimes,
yeah.
many times, historically, moms
yeah.
have had to step in to teach our children.
Yes.
And here's a way for
and
you
be
to
be the advocate.
And be
for
the advocate for that child, yes. And so here is the opportunity for anyone out there who is listening, who are looking to advocate, who are looking to, you know, find support, because I'm sure
yeah.
you'll find some support here.
Mm-hmm.
Network with other parents, network with other organizations,
yes.
And even find resources that are available on how to handle ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
So in your counseling center, do you all do any testing or assessments?
No, we don't do any testing, but
mm-hmm.
we will certainly give some resources of where we think would be some good options for a
okay.
family to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we can direct them back to their school system, depending on where they are. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
it might be their pediatrician. But we'll work with them individually to try and figure out what's going to be a good fit for them,
okay.
definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is just wonderful.
Yeah.
So, you know, every counseling center is not prepared to handle this. They don't specialize this. There are different counseling centers that specialize in trauma. Some specialize in children. Some specialize in homelessness and transitioning. So here, not that she specializes in it, but now you have another resource
yes.
that you can turn to out there, my listening audience, that you can turn to, so that you can get the help and the resources that you need.
Yeah, and if you want to buy a ticket, you go to our
yes,
Eldridge Facebook,
please,
and it'll give you a link to
mm-hmm.
buy the ticket on Eventbrite. And I will go in tonight when I get home
mm-hmm.
through that
so
awful
give us
traffic.
Some time.
Yeah, through that awful traffic when I get home, and I will put in fishbowl.
Yes.
Will be the discount code
mm-hmm.
for your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And there
so
you go.
So a lot of our listeners is in the southern sector of Dallas.
Yeah.
So they are going to Red Oak, which
yeah.
is not far from us.
No.
It's right up the street. So I know many of us know where Red Oak is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can go to Red Oak and attend this,
yep.
this
Saturday
wonderful
morning,
event.
The 24th from 9 to 10:30.
Not even a long time out
nope.
of your day. Doesn't take a lot out of your day. But it is necessary. You know, I'm always encouraging our listening audience to be responsible, be proactive, make the move. I know it's very, very easy to dismiss it and say, I have other things
mm-hmm.
to do. But mental health is important.
Yeah.
It is extremely important, and you can't do it and you can't receive it staying at home, staying in the bed.
Yeah.
So I'm going to really, really, really encourage you to, I have someone on the line. Let's see who this is. Yes, caller. Are you calling for You Better Call Kim?
Yes.
Yes. Who am I speaking with? Well, they hung the phone up. Thank you, caller. Thank you for listening. And thank you for calling. But as I was saying, I really want our listening audience to truly consider getting out there, taking the time out of your Saturday morning. Do something proactive. Do something that's going to change your life. And this could be a life-changing event for you. An hour and a half.
Yeah.
An hour and a half is not a lot to ask and a lot to commit to.
There's so many skills that they can walk away from this seminar with. Like I said, our special speaker, I mean, she was a mom parenting her own boys. Mm-hmm. She is a licensed counselor herself. I've heard her many times. She's great. This is her thing. But she'll help the attendees walk away with some things they can use that they can really put into practice about, so how do I deal with it? How do I deal with my child's ADHD? How do I deal with helping them with homework? Mm-hmm. How do I deal with it myself when I get really frustrated and I'm stressed, but I love my kid, but they're stressing me out. She will give some tools and some tips and some encouragement that you're not alone in this.
Great, great, great. So y'all have it. The call has been made, and I hope you all respond to this, because I think, you know, we don't always get these things to kind of come directly in our face through our phones, on our computers, just knocking on your door saying, hey, here's your opportunity. And so I hope you'll open the door. I hope you'll listen, and I hope you take action. So is there anything else, Ms. Brenda, that you would love to just leave us with?
You know, I think that's it. I mean, I really appreciate that you are encouraging your listeners to take advantage of this, and that's what we want to. And if you come Saturday, come and tell me you're a Fishbowl listener, because I wanna meet you and I wanna get to know you.
Hey, yes. Let's see if this. Hello, are you calling for You Better Call Kim?
Yes.
Yes. What would you like to say tonight?
I would just like to say that I have a son that I think is suffering from ADHD, and it's taken a couple of years to get help for him or seek help.
Okay.
And I had a situation with school, him and the school that he attended, and they just put it off as, like, you know, bad behavior, and they were actually trying to, he's under the special education umbrella, even though he's going mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
So they were trying to actually, in my opinion, just pass him on, like, you know, this is something normal, but I'm thinking that he may be somewhere along the spectrum of ADHD.
Okay.
Well, I've heard that story. I too have a child with a learning disability, and that's very, unfortunately, that is often too common in our school system. But I really want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up. This is why this show and these type of resources are now available. I hear you, and I know that, you know, we haven't always had that arm reached out to us, but this is the arm that's reaching out to you, so that you can come to a seminar that will help you and help answer some of those questions that you will have. And the wonderful thing is that she's going to give you 50% off if you come. So how far are you from Red Oak?
I'm actually less than 15 minutes away.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be easily accessible, and it's going to be affordable. How much more can you ask for? So I hope, what's your name again?
My name is Monique.
Okay, Monique. I hope you make it out there, because this is something that I think will be very beneficial for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Monique, we want to see you there. So come up and say hi to me when you come on Saturday the 24th.
Okay, and what's that website again?
It's elligecounseling.com.
Elledge Counseling, okay.
Right, and you can also just go straight to eventbrite.com to buy your ticket, but wait until I go home and put the discount in.
Okay, well, I certainly appreciate it because it's something that I'm very interested in, so.
Yes, of course, of course.
Well, thank you for calling,
Thanks,
Monique.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, we want to all reach out and pray that Monique, find these resources. We are a praying audience. We are a listening audience that also believe that everything is ordered by the steps of God. So, it is by no chance, chance, and it is very purposeful that God allowed Brenda to be with us tonight.
Thank you.
So we appreciate you coming out and expanding resources to these underserved communities.
Thank you. Thanks, Kim. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. So we're going to take a quick listening break as I shift over to another part of our show. And we do have a couple of more people in the audience and, people in the studio. And so we are going to talk about self-efficacy. Now, I think Brenda has opened a big door to made a great transition to self-efficacy because self-efficacy simply means that you believe that you have the capacity to succeed. And so when we are talking about individuals with these type of disabilities, everything around you tells you that you can't. Everything from school systems to work environments, everything says you can't. But what we're going to do tonight is encourage you and bring a little bit of mental relief, mental health to your home through this radio so that you can be inspired and encouraged to pursue the things that you need to do with confidence.
You met me deep in my despair to show me you would never leave me there. You claim because I was made for so much more. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. So heavy with the weight of my mistakes, you carried me and refused to let me sink under the pressure you meant for me to soar. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me, and nothing can separate me from your love. We meant so much more, still worth fighting for. Now I'm moving by faith and not by sight towards victory. By the power of your might, you're straightening out my path, closing every door. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen,
all you have
had
for me,
and nothing,
nothing, nothing, nothing.
haven't seen, ears haven't heard, because there is so much worth fighting for. This is Kim, and you are back with You Better Call Kim. And I have in our studio audience two wonderful, wonderful, amazing women, Miss April and Olia, the Underground Queens. Y'all want to say hello to the audience?
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
I had the pleasure of meeting these two entrepreneurs last week, and I was on their show. It was such a blessing. And I thought, if I was ever going to have someone on my show talking about success and succeeding and pushing through, I was going to bring these two ladies because I believe they demonstrate a great strength and a great lesson for all of us. Can you tell us a little bit about your story?
Let me go first.
Okay, well, I'm Olia. You mean referring back what we talked to about last week?
Just the radio show and how y'all came about.
Oh, we're best friends. We're friends. We're from the same hometown. Mm-hmm. April's been doing my hair since she was 15. In her mama's kitchen. But yeah, we went
in the mama's kitchen. You know that for real. In the mama's kitchen.
Watching it in the sink. But no, we've always been cool with each other over the years. We have one more friend that we're missing. But we all grew up together. And we all, you know, both moved away and clicked back up once we got to the city. And now we're doing our own thing with the Underground Queens.
Right.
It's new to us, but we're excited. We're new to the radio, online radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much that we want to bring to light about what's going on, what's not being talked about. We're talking about things that people are kind of scared to talk about.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, last week we did a show on sexual trauma.
Right.
And of course, as I put on here, on our ad, they have on their advertisement, real women, real issues, real life, and real talk. And so, you know, I think when you are facing things in life, you need some real talk. You don't need no sugarcoating and patting you on your back. You need somebody that's going to be real with you.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have a real conversation tonight about mental health. And as you all know, my mission in life is to expand access to mental health for all audiences, for all people.
Right.
I think mental health, what's ailing our communities today is a mental, you know, mental thing. It's a mind thing.
Right.
It's
mm-hmm.
not just behavioral. It's not just society.
Right.
It's a mind thing. And if we collectively can come together and start helping each other get our minds straight, recognizing when you're off to help you get back on board, we can help each other. I forgot something that was awfully, awfully important. And that is my dad, my go-to, my support system, my person that I lean on every time I need him. And that is my dad, Bishop Cleophas Pearson. Will you say hello? He is here with us. He's in this conversation. Will you say hello, Daddy?
Hello, Daddy. Again tonight, this is always a great time for me. It's an expansion on my life and in this new dimension of 83 years. And so it's a lot of experience in hearing what's going on in the minds of this generation of mm-hmm. people and having experienced a lot of the things that they are going through. I'm helping myself to celebrate my life in knowing that the goodness of Almighty God has allowed me to be here to see others pushing through and trying to support those who are helping each one. So it's always a great time to be here.
Right.
Thank you. You better call Kim.
I love it when he says that. That's the reason why I keep him in the audience. I keep him on with me. I'm like, somehow I'm going to record this so that people can hear. I just go play in people's ringtone. My dad saying, you better call Kim. But our tonight's subject is self-efficacy. And I, you know, I coined this by saying, how do you succeed? How do you get, how do you succeed? There was a counselor named Albert Bandura. He was a psychologist. And he says that people who believe they have the power to exercise some measure of control over their lives are healthier, more effective, and more successful than those who lack the faith in their ability to affect changes in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I read that, I really thought about how difficult it is for some of us, or for, you know, people in particular, the African-American community, to feel like they have that control,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Have some measure of
the,
oh yeah, some yeah. black women. You know, it seems like everything is always against us,
right.
and we keep pushing us back,
right.
and we're trying very hard to move forward. And after a while, you feel like giving up.
Right.
You feel like you don't have that control.
Right.
And I, you know, I thought as I came to your show last night, and I saw these are young women. These are very, to me, they're very young. Because I'm not going to say my age, but I'm a little middle aged now. And these ladies are probably about 20 years younger than me.
I'm knocking 40.
No, girl.
I'm 38.
Oh, Lord. Okay, 10 years younger than me. 37. Okay, they ain't that young. So, okay, they done earned some stripes, y'all. They done won some wars, and they've earned some stripes. So we're going to let them roll with it.
We just try to look good while
they
do it.
Right,
yeah, we got one.
I mean, y'all have to see her. I thought she was like 20, 19. She looks so young.
I got an 18-year-old out
of it. Oh, wow. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah. I have a 10-year-old.
Yeah. See?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. We ain't going to talk about it. That's another show.
Yeah.
That's another show. But, as I walked into your studio and I saw your personalities, and I just kind of embraced the energy that was in the room, and I just felt like there had to be some moments where these ladies hit some obstacles that pushed them, that they had to push over.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the confidence that you have to want to create a radio station or to create a radio show where you're talking about real issues, real things. And so I want to ask you a few things, and we'll talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
There's an idea that you had to have done something before. It says the experiences of mastering influence had to happen before you actually took on this. You had to have mastered some other stuff,
right.
mm-hmm.
in order to feel confident that you could have done this.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about that? What things did you all overcome?
For me, I mean, just self-doubt, you know, coming from where we came from,
right.
it's not a lot of opportunity.
Where
you
did
know?
Y'all come from?
Paris, Texas.
Paris, Texas. Paris, Texas.
The country.
Small town, Texas. Mm-hmm. And you know how that is. I mean, we're in the South.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's racism, it's sexism, it's all those things, and it's not a lot of opportunity. So you had to really just make your own opportunity,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so, for me, it was always about just people always discouraged me to do, even if I was doing well. I mean, I did very well in school.
Mm-hmm.
I graduated top of my class. But
okay.
So the expectation was for me always to excel and do something like be a doctor or
mm-hmm.
something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a love for, like, doing hair and stuff. So I went to college 1 year, and I came back, and I went to beauty school, and I had my own salon and everything by the time I was, like, 20, I think.
Wow.
And but as I was working with women and doing their hair, I you know, listening to their stories and stuff, it was always in me to like help people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, I'm gonna go back to school so that I can offer something more, you know. So I went back to school to become a social worker, and then I started working in social work. But all during that time, I mean, it was just like I was running on an engine because, I mean, you have bad relationships, all
mm-hmm.
kind of stuff
mm-hmm.
going on in between all of that. Single
yeah.
motherhood,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
you know, issues with your family, all of that type of stuff. But for me, it was always like, I got to keep going. I can't stop. Because if you stop, you're just going to stop and then go backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's just always about moving forward in order for me to get, you know, what I want out of life, which is to be successful.
Yeah, and for those who are out there listening, let me give you this number again, 214-717-4678. I want you all to participate in this conversation here, because I think it's very important for people to understand that when you stop, you fail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it wasn't easy. I mean, I think a lot of times people think it's easy because you might be smiling through it, you know, or when they see you or whatever, but I mean, you got, especially I think for a younger black woman especially, and then being a single mom too, I think that's probably the toughest period for me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, trying to go to class and trying to make arrangements for your child and then just fighting all the issues of society, people judging you.
And I bet every time you accomplish one thing, it gave you that momentum
to do something else.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's my mentor.
Okay.
So it's like, we set goals, and it's like, we started this at the beginning of the year, of what we was going to do, and it's coming all to light. It's like, we planned this all out. But for me, I my story is kind of different from April's, because I had my kids in my early 20s. So I went through that fast food, working a job, trying to take care of my kids, living on public housing, food stamps, and all that. And I was like, nah, because I just knew that wasn't the life for me. So I'm like, I got to do something. My dad stayed here in Dallas. So I was like, Dad, I need to come. I need to get away. I need to better myself. I need to go to school. All this. And he said, come on. You know? And I've been here ever since. And I graduated from college. I got my medical billing and coding. I've had this success since I just turned everything around from this what I had until just trying to be something new, do something different, do something that I thought I couldn't do. I never thought I could go to college because I had kids. I thought, you know, I just thought so much was against me.
Yeah.
But once I got out there and got to trying and actually seeing, it was so much stuff available that was just offered to help me with my kids and to get through school. Now I'm not on no public assistance. I'm self-sufficient.
Kids
good.
You know. I mean, that's a testimony. And, you know, last week we talked on our show about the support system. And I hope all this stuff is kind of coming together for our listening audience, because all of these things enhance your mental health. When you have that good support system, you can call daddy and say, hey, I don't care, I know you want to be in bed by 8, but you're going to be in the studio with me till 11.
I'm a dad girl.
You know, or even mom, or having that friend that you were saying that the two of you have been friends, and she's been your mentor. You know, so the people that you associate with, and it says here that we are influenced by the people. My mom used to say, birds of a feather flock together. And so if you want to be somebody that's doing something, you got to hang around people that's doing something.
April was banging, you know. I went to my hair fix and we talking and everything like that, and we always talking about what we really want to do. We always want to do something different, more than what, you know, people were saying that we could do. Nobody ever thought we were going to have a radio show. No, nobody ever thought it was coming like that. And that's just something.
And it was just like, I just said, okay, because we have been talking about doing stuff. And then, you know how sometimes you talk yourself out of it.
Right.
Like, we just going to do it.
And that's okay. That's another thing. It's trying to overcome that fear. Overcoming self-doubt, overcoming the other people's doubts. Negative talk and the fear that you can't. And so here are two ladies that demonstrated that, whose story. Dad, do you have anything you want to add in that? Is there anything?
Just confirming the fact that you have in you what it takes to be what you want to be. And I think that's what the mental health and your service is all about. And you all are the ones that can be more encouraging. And with my support of knowing that it will work if you put forth an effort.
Yeah, it's not going to come knocking at your door.
It's hard work. It's hard work and sacrifice, because whether you're going to school, you staying up late, taking night classes, studying. I go to school too. I got class. I got to be in class Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm working on my doctorate degree.
Right.
So it's just.
Hey.
But I have a kid. You know, he's in sports, so I'm still trying to be. You know, as much as involved and not take away from his.
I hope y'all are hearing this.
Right.
I really want you all to hear this. This is a very unique thing that's happening in our society today, where you are seeing more African Americans going after that third degree.
I'm going back too.
Hey,
see, going to fast.
You know what I'm saying?
Soon as high school, though.
Yes,
yeah.
Uh huh. I hear you, girl. I think it's so important that these messages that people see, because as I was saying here, that you are influenced. When you hear messages like this,
right. Mm-hmm.
Then a light bulb will come on and you say, oh, well, maybe I can do that.
Yeah. Right.
And so it's necessary for you to change the messages that you're hearing.
That's right.
So that you are hearing messages that's going to push you forward.
Right. Right.
And you do that through your associations. Because, you know, sometimes family is not always the people.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
They're not always the ones that's gonna see your dream with
right.
you.
That's most of the time, they're not gonna see. Because, you know, and a lot of people, I would say, don't really hold your family, don't hold it against your family, but mm-hmm. because they just, they've seen you all your life. They've seen
right.
all the mistakes that you've made, so they
right.
can't help but to doubt you. And
right.
that's fair, but that's your family's role, but you still need an outside support system
right.
yeah.
that sees your potential and will motivate mm-hmm. you and encourage you.
Yeah.
So don't just, if you're not getting it from your family, don't just stay in a shell.
Mm-hmm.
Seek out that support with somebody that's like-minded
right.
or that has more experience. Get a mentor, coach, whatever you
mm-hmm.
need. To.
And that's what counseling is for, is when you are in a place where you don't have that kind of support,
right. mm-hmm.
then you go find a counselor or a coach
mm-hmm.
and you find someone that's going to help motivate you to move forward, because this being able to having other people around you to influence you, that goes both ways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be influenced no matter what.
Right.
Good or bad.
Right.
Good or bad. If you hanging around people that's not doing anything,
you're
going to be the person that's not doing anything.
I went through that
be right along with them.
First, I went through that stage hanging around people who weren't doing nothing. I was still stuck doing the same thing,
mm-hmm.
same year after year, the same thing, no change. And then it's like when I decided to change the people who I was hanging around with, my life changed.
Mm-hmm.
Things started getting better.
Wow.
The people I was hanging with then mm-hmm. are doing bigger and better things than the people I were before.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. Again, that number is 214-717-4678. I know it was a little late getting started, but I got to run these commercials. And so I got to do the time. Because I paid the dime. I think I need to be a rapper.
Yeah.
So we're going to hear a few commercials here. They've come up on the screen here. And we're going to go ahead and go through this and come back with these lovely ladies. We have an hour left in our show, and we're going to maximize their time with no commercials.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Philly Phil, host of the Uncut Funk, where you hear classic funk, old school funk, new funk, and party jams. Live every Tuesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time, FBRN.us in the Red Bowl. Be there.
On FishbowlRadioNetwork.com. Jump in. Back in my day, we advertised like man. Get up on the rooftop and use what we call lung fire.
Come and get it!
Nowadays, they got what's called the internet. It goes worldwide. And on this internet is what's called fishbowlradio.com, a network of over 100 personality-driven radio shows. Now that's a lot of lung power. Sounds like a good way to get the word out about your business. Call them, 817-633-4880, and jump in!
It could happen at any time. If you were affected by the hailstorms this year, a collision could bring you and your family to a halt from getting your vehicle repaired for free. We're here to help. Let us get your hail damage done with no hassle, no time off work, and no time away from your family. It's a free service, so take advantage today. Give us a call at 469-774-4498, 469-774-4498, or visit us at AutoHailConsulting.com today.
Introducing the Ferrero Rocher cupcakes loaded with luscious luscious layers of sweet goodness coated over dark chocolate cake made with the freshest and finest ingredients to make you say, holy cupcake, voted top three cupcakes in the DFW area. Wondering where you can get these sweet chocolatey goodies? Where else but Le Cupcake and Treats? Call us now, 682-999-8276. That's 682-999-8276. Or visit us on our Facebook and Instagram at Le Cupcake and Treats, where we make life sweeter. House Catering and Event Productions is a full-service catering and special events company that delivers a fresh, fun, and interactive experience. Led by Fernando J. Asensio, House Catering and Event Production combines a superb taste, unique presentation, and interactive services to create unforgettable events and memorable experiences. Their passion for food and avant-garde thinking sets them apart and has won them awards and recognition, along with the trust of their clients, from which they cater to on a regular basis. Visit www.housecatering.com today. House Catering and Event Production creates the best experience for all your catering needs.
Customize your gear today with Ochuck. Ochuck provides top-of-the-line printing for all of your merchandising needs. From custom Chuck Taylors to t-shirts, sweatshirts, and even lanyards, they customize it all. Visit them at the Parks Mall in Arlington, Texas, or at www.ochuck.com. That's O-H-C-H-U-C-K.com. Create a custom experience today with Ochuck. You think it, they'll ink it.
All right, guys, we're back. We're back. We're having a good time in the studio. We going live on Facebook and all kinds of stuff going on in here. We having a good time. And my dad is hanging with us. He's just watching. Oh, so, you know, we just talked about how observing someone else do things can change your situation. Mm-hmm. So when you see somebody else, when you put yourself out there, to go and you see someone else succeeding and making it in life and pushing it hard, and how it influenced the way you see yourself. Same thing happened if you see someone not doing anything and they mundane, you know, life is a party, but they ain't got no money.
Yeah. How can life be a party and you have no
money? And you have no money.
Who money are you partying off of? Think it's ours.
So, yes, it just it's amazing, you know. I'm always amazed when I go out and I see people like hanging around just kind of in the middle of the daytime, and it's like they don't have no job.
What are you doing?
They don't even care. They don't have no job.
It's like, create your job. If you can't find a job, create your job.
Create
a
job.
You know, it's not a excuse unless you're disabled or mm-hmm. you just can't work.
You know, my dad is a I call him a African American engineer.
Mm. He can do everything.
He opened up. When you retired, you opened up a lawnmower service, kind of right. under the cover. Right. The neighborhood lawnmower service. Neighborhood lawnmower service.
Old school. Uh-huh. And everybody know it by old school.
They call him old school. But I tell you, you know, he's so funny. He hired and fired my mama like a whole bunch of times because she's not a good secretary. But, you know, he had the self-efficacy
right.
and believed that he could.
Right, yeah.
And you know, he had an idea. Mm-hmm. He knew what he could be. He was going to be good at. He knew what his skill set was. And he did it.
Yeah.
He did it. He went out and now, you know, in the summertime, he can't hardly go out of town.
Well,
because
couldn't.
He has customers
wow.
who's dependent on him to fix their lawnmowers, or they need a lawnmower that he has repaired to sell it to them.
Wow.
And here he is, 80-something years old, 85 years old.
Close to it.
He'll be 85 in December, mm-hmm. 85 years old, still.
So he modeled that for you.
He modeled that for me. You know, mm-hmm. He definitely have a can-do spirit.
Right.
And so...
Yeah, so I think I definitely think I got that from him. Mm-hmm. That stick to itness, and I'm gonna do it. I can do it. I just I don't know how, but it's gonna happen.
Right. Yeah. My dad's a self-made man like that as well. So.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I think it's good to be around it, and watching that, you know, teaches us not to have fear.
Right.
Yeah, and then after you have, you know, kind of watched other people do that, and you've been out there and kind of observed this, and you may have gotten to the point where you're on the fence, like, should I? I want to say that successful experiences lead to your confidence.
Right. Mm-hmm. You gotta
that's true.
You have to be a leader. You have to act on your faith.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I don't understand. A lot of people, they'll say they have faith until it's time to act on the faith.
Right.
Then that's when you really know if you really have faith.
Right.
Because, yeah, it's scary. A lot of people, that fear, overcoming that fear of what if I fail? What if it doesn't work out? What if people make fun of me?
Mm-hmm.
All of
everything.
Yeah. Especially when you decide to go on the radio.
Right.
Yeah.
And
you're really putting yourself out there then.
Right.
You know, and I felt it too because, you know, being a preacher's kid, you know, you get a lot of people that judge you and say, oh, you ought to be. And I ain't never, ever, ever been a conformist. I have never been the good preacher's kid.
Right.
I was, but I wasn't no bad. You know, I wasn't like out there doing a whole bunch of stuff. However, I was militant and had my own mind. I was Pentecostal, and at that time you couldn't wear makeup. But I loved my makeup. When I learned how to wear makeup, I wanted to wear makeup.
Right.
You know, so I put my makeup on. And I mean, I had it on bright too, girl. I had the reddest lipstick you could find. And we'll walk down the center aisle of the church to the front seat. I was a hot mess.
Right.
But it was that confidence that I had. And, you know,
you didn't care.
And the more I did it, the more I found success in it, the more I was able to do other things. So I was like, you know what? People didn't say anything when I did that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe I can sing a song.
Mm-hmm.
And they may accept that. And then I sung a few songs, you know. Well, maybe I can speak, and then I start speaking, and they accept that.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, I think having those successes are very necessary.
Yeah.
And so in that, you don't want to, like, go from 0 to 100.
Right.
You don't want to be like, I had a niece once that said she could play the piano, but ain't never took a piano lesson. Or my son, who honestly believes that he can write a book, and he's 10 years old. Although he's going to write it. He's probably going to write a book. But, you know, he's going to write a book. But, I want to hear from my audience. Now, I've asked you all to call in. So call in at 214-717-4678. Give me a call. Let me know what you think about the show. You know, tell me your story about how you got over some difficult things. I know that there are some people out there who want to share your story, and you hear these stories here, and you know that somebody out there is listening and saying, you know what, I'm on Section 8 or I'm on welfare, and if Aaliyah can do it, then I can do it. And
they put me out the program. They sent me a little letter that you graduated the program.
You graduated, say, oh Lord.
Yeah.
Well, you're a success story.
Yeah. You're a success story.
Yeah.
That's a good way to see it. You are a success story.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that, and that's a different way of looking at it, that I don't think that message is
that helped me though. I had to work with my kids, being standing like the projects or nothing like that. We had a nice living. I was going to school. My rent was paid. I was, you know, feeling secure in what I was doing.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I wasn't like, I'm just struggling to take care of my kids and trying to go to school.
Yeah.
Because they provided the rent, food stamps, provided the food.
Mm-hmm.
All I had to do was go to work, take them to school, come home, and graduate. Mm-hmm. And I did that.
Mm-hmm. And that was a stepping stone to get you where you needed to be. And so it wasn't a lifestyle for you.
No.
It was a stepping stone.
Right.
Because the question on the table is, how do I be successful? How do I succeed? You take the stepping stones.
Right. And that's what hair was for me. You know, I love working with women. I love doing hair. But it really was for me more of a stepping stone to do. Because I always saw myself doing something like this.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Talk show and stuff like that. That was my big dream. But for me, I was like, okay, I got to find a way so I can make a living while I'm going to school.
Yeah.
Because,
right.
You know,
my parents didn't make enough for me to qualify for grants and all mm-hmm. that. I mean, they made too much, but, I'm saying, yeah. for me to qualify. So it was like mm-hmm. either get a bunch of loans, which I did, and I got scholarships, but it's still, I wanted to be able to, mm-hmm. like I said, I didn't want to be struggling.
Right.
And so mm-hmm. that's what I decided to do. So mm-hmm. it was a choice for me to take a break, go to cosmetology school, which mm-hmm. was a year, build up clientele, do that, then eventually go back into school. Mm-hmm. So, but it, I mean, it was a sacrifice, but... And it was a did, plan. You yeah, know, yeah. I sat down, I planned it out. That's what mm-hmm. I did.
You did. Having control.
Oh, right. right.
Well,
yes.
Your experience, were you inspired by someone else or you were inspired from within?
I would say both. I was inspired from within, and it was a lady in my hometown who was a hairstylist that I looked up to.
Right.
Her name is Rashana.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Rashana.
Shout out to Rashana. And so, and I just love that, you know, seeing her. She started out young with her own yeah. shop, too. Mm-hmm. So it gave me the hope that, like, and she was also a single mom. Yep. I wasn't mm-hmm. a single mom when I was doing hair.
Right.
But just knowing, like, okay, you can do this, you know. And so having seen that. And then my dad, you know, he was a workaholic. My mom was a teacher.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so education was always really strong in my family. Like, so... Knowing that my mother, she had a master's in education, and she was a teacher, single mom, you know, my dad, he still works now, you know, he's 65, 66, mm-hmm. but he still works, mm-hmm. and he also had a business, HVAC business.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing all of that and just, you know, for me, it was just a little glimpse. That's all I needed. Like, you know, if just right. a few people can do it, okay, I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
But I was also self-motivated, too. I always mm-hmm. believed right. that whatever I put my mind to, I can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I was kind of different. My mom worked herself to death. You know what I'm saying? She's a single mom. Her mother got killed when she was 18, so mm-hmm. she had to take care of her sisters and brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So my uncles and aunts grew up like my sisters and brothers. So I didn't know until I was like 10 that mm-hmm. they was my uncles and aunts. You know what I'm saying? They told me the story.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But she's always work, and no mm-hmm. free time. Never got married, never had no type of real social life. And I said, I don't want to be like that.
Yeah.
I don't want that, you know? Mm-hmm. And she flipped out when I said I was going to move from Paris. Mm-hmm. to Dallas with my kids. She thought that was a bad move for me. Said mm-hmm. I wouldn't, you know, I'm gonna be struggling this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I can't go off how you feel. I don't feel
yeah.
that way.
Mm-hmm.
So
that
I just
was
wanted
fear.
To
think,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now she sees that baby girl is banging. Well, of course, she's good
yeah.
now. But I just didn't want to be mm-hmm. that person who had to get up and go to work every day and work that hard and those
yeah.
long hours
yeah.
and still wasn't happy in life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's a good way to look at it, that sometimes even seeing those negative things, seeing what you think is negative
right.
is turning out for your good.
Right.
So like what the Bible says, what the devil meant for bad, God's going to turn it out for my good.
Right.
So, you know, even though you saw that in a light that was, you know, I don't want to be that way, that was the thing that it took to motivate you.
Right.
Yeah. For me, my grandmother, God rest her soul, and she was just amazing. She told me when I was, as long as I could remember, because we would go shopping, and my grandmother would say, go and pick whatever you want. And I could go and buy whatever I wanted. And I would buy something expensive. And when I brought it back to her, she said, now you make sure that you get your education, because ain't nobody going to afford. Ain't nobody gonna be paying for all this stuff for you. And I kept that in my mind the whole time I was growing up.
Right.
Like, you know, I need to make sure that I get an education, because I knew this lifestyle that I wanted to live.
Yeah.
I knew what I wanted in life.
Yeah.
And you know, there was this lifestyle that I knew I didn't want
right.
to live. And so I pushed, and I kept pushing, and I just, you know, I just didn't give up, and I dropped out of college, scared my mom and dad to death. They thought I lost my mind, and I went and worked at a place, I ain't going to say the name, but listen, they was fighting over the copy machine.
What?
And that day they had that fight over the copy machine, I told the Lord, I said, if you let me get back in school, I will not come out without
right.
a degree.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I knew that was not a life that I wanted to live.
Right.
I was mm-hmm. not going to spend my days in low-income
yeah.
Job.
Right.
just wasn't going
to
do it.
And that's how I felt the whole time that I was working. Mm-hmm. I was like, this ain't me, but I got to do it to take care of what mm-hmm. I had to take care of at the time.
Mm-hmm. And it's one thing, you know, to have that.
Right.
But you got to move on that.
Right.
You got, and I'm sure everybody, including the pharmacist, the yeah. neighborhood pharmacist.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have a mind that they don't want to live in, you know.
I don't think that. Some do. I'll be like, I asked the guy. They were sitting outside of my apartment complex, and they was out there talking about how the money they had made for that day or whatever. I said, mm-hmm. what y'all going to do with the money? What's your plan? I said, what do you do? You just keep on just selling and partying.
Mm-hmm.
What are you not putting, investing the money into yourself or whatever? He said, nobody's ever asked me that. Nobody's ever asked me, what am I doing with my money? Am I investing my money back in me or whatever? I said, you plan on selling drugs for your whole life?
Mm-hmm.
I said, just change up the product. You can do that. You can sell something else.
If you can have an illegal business, you can have a legal business. Right. I say that all the time.
Yeah.
But the product. It's the comfort zone.
And it's going back. It's the people you hanging around.
Right. Yeah. Right.
When you start hanging around legitimate people,
right.
you're going to start acting legitimate.
Yeah. Right. And then if you're in that circle, usually it's only really, you know, so you got a few people that everybody else is feeding off of
right.
or depending on. And so it's like if you that person and you want to move out, but then because of those people you're associating with that's dependent on you,
mm-hmm.
they're going to discourage you from doing
yeah.
that.
Yeah. And unfortunately, just by human nature, you know, we tend to be crab-minded, unfortunately.
Right.
And when you start to dig yourself out of that circle, you know, that dark pit with the rest of the people, they down there enjoying it.
Right.
They want you to stay with them.
Yeah,
and so they're going to be pulling on you
to
stay with them.
Yeah.
And they, you know, it's uncomfortable for them as much as it is uncomfortable for you.
Right.
One thing, when you start pulling yourself out, that puts the light on them.
Right.
And they don't have to take some responsibility.
Right, exactly.
You know, so it actually ends up being good for everybody,
right.
when one person, I was asked a question the other day of working with young people. I was asked a question like, when you work with young people, how do you counsel them? How do you work with them? I said, I find the leader of the group.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm talking to the leader of the bunch.
Yeah.
I'm talking to the leader.
Mm-hmm.
I said, why don't you just start saving your money and buy real estate? You know what I'm saying? I said, if you don't want to be, I said, invest your money into houses or something so you always have income coming in each month.
Yeah.
And so now he's just trying to think of ways. He said, I'm glad you told me that. I never even thought of what to do or how I can get out. You know, nobody's ever asked me that.
Wow.
And that baffles me because a lot of them say stuff like that. Well, nobody ever said that to me. And I'm like, well, who are you hanging around?
Yeah.
Like, nobody ever told this. Is
That's all they know.
That's all they know.
Yeah.
You need some new friends.
Yeah. They've never been out the hood. You know what I'm saying? They just know their hood mentality. They just have that hood mentality.
And that's the reason why we call talking about mental health. It's not healthy. That hood mentality is not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Mentally, it is not healthy. It
no,
is
not.
A dark pit that will keep you in bondage and then adds other layers to it. Then you got to be dealing with victim of crime,
right.
The substance abuse.
Yeah.
You know, it is not a healthy place to be, but it doesn't have to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you see on You Better Call Kim,
mm-hmm.
there are some people that are out there doing it
right.
and making it happen.
Right.
And so there are examples out there that are actually, that you can see.
Right.
That are in your community.
And
you can do more.
You have to start, you know, you want your own community to be better. Start doing something.
You be the one.
You got to start it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait for nobody just to start. Start.
Mm-hmm.
Plant some flowers.
Right.
You see trash, pick up the trash.
Right.
Just start.
Yeah.
Talk to the kids in the neighborhood. Whatever you can do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, again, we're talking about how to be successful. And it is done through your self-efficacy, the belief that you have in your ability to succeed. I can believe it all day. I can want you to have it. I can want you to, you know, they say, you can take the horse to the water, but you can't make him drink.
Mm-hmm.
I can believe it for you all day, but until you believe that you can do this, you can overcome your challenges, you can get rid of addiction,
mm-hmm.
you can leave that abusive husband
mm-hmm.
or that abusive boyfriend, or you can dig yourself out of poverty,
mm-hmm.
Until you believe that.
You want it.
You won't make the change.
Right.
Right.
And here are some steps on how you would get there. First, Mind change the people you hanging around.
Right. That's mm-hmm. the that's the first.
Mm-hmm. You gotta do it.
Change the people you hanging around. If you want to stop something, get around people who not, who's doing something different.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then secondly, get you a few milestones. Get you a few success, small success stories. It could be simple as, you know, I think about exercising.
Right.
And you may not be able to walk a mile, but you can walk from your door to the street.
Yeah, and back.
And back.
And each day go farther.
Each day go a little further. Mm-hmm. You may not be able to go and get on the treadmill and walk for 2 or 3 miles or do 10 jumping jacks.
Right.
But you can get off the couch and touch your toes right. 3 or 4 times.
Right.
You can do something. It starts right. with those small steps.
Right. Whatever. Or change your food. If you don't, you know, you can
change your food.
The way you eat.
Yeah. And you don't even have to change all of it. Right. You can change one meal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If it's going to school, if you just got to do one class at a time, class at a time.
One class at a time.
You don't have to take the whole load in one semester.
Now they offer online classes. It's really
exactly.
Like no excuse for you not
there's no
weekend.
Excuse.
Night.
And they pay you.
And they pay you.
They give you grant money.
Oh, I didn't get any. I'm sorry.
Oh, I get grant money. I can get money.
But I think that's an important point though, because a lot of people just they see the whole thing and then that discourages them
right.
instead of seeing it like just
baby steps.
Cut it up.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. check out one chunk at a time.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, they say anything in life worth having is worth fighting for.
It right. is. It's right. worth so fighting for. It's worth fighting
it's
for.
It's not going to be easy, but in the end, it's going to be well worth it.
And it may not be perfect at the beginning.
No,
and
not.
It doesn't have to be perfect.
Right.
Because if it was perfect at the beginning, then what would you need to work toward?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So start somewhere. So then there's also, I'm going to add to this. So the next one is that you want to have people around you who are going to encourage you and convince you that you can perform what you need to perform.
Right.
That you don't, you know, those naysayers, get rid of them.
Mm. We hear them all day, every day. I had to get over that off of Facebook because I used to feed into the haters.
Facebook
now,
is the bad, worst place.
Yeah, but yeah, I overcame that. So.
Yes, mm-hmm. you know.
If you have to tell me sometimes too, since like,
cause I had
after our show, you know.
But to, I mean, I you know, a lot of, that discourages a lot of people though from pursuing their dreams because they don't want to be talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell everybody, you're gonna be talked about anyway. When I was a straight A student and I was graduating honors on my class, I got talked about.
Right.
And when I was doing what I shouldn't have been doing, I got talked about. So it's you're going to get talked about. So
right.
just do it. Just.
Do
accept
it.
The fact accept that you're going to be
talking about. And I had a teacher that tell me, she said, ain't nobody going to talk about you if you ain't doing something.
Ain't
right.
Nobody. That's right.
So you must be doing something to get their
exactly.
attention if they're talking about
good
you.
Good or bad.
Right.
I also had this gentleman once that he was not the smartest guy in that I knew. The light bulb wasn't that bright. But he gave me one of the best advice that I've ever had. He said, Kim, your dreams are not up for debate.
Mm-mm.
Whatever you choose to do, you go
do
and
it.
Pursue it. You do it. Quit asking people.
Yeah.
You don't have to have nobody's permission to be
right.
yourself.
Okay. God gave you a vision. He didn't get a vision to everybody. That's your vision.
Right.
Exactly. So go for your vision. It's not for everybody to see. You see it.
You see it. You
and
do
if
it.
God is for you. I don't care who try to stop you. You can talk all you want to, but
amen.
You ain't going to stop nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So we're going to shut
amen.
Those down
yeah.
and find some people. Find some people.
Yeah.
Who are going to encourage you?
Right.
Who's going to have good things to say about you?
Mm-hmm.
Good things to say
right.
about your vision or what you're going to
right.
do, and shit, you know, just
yeah,
ignore
the
them.
That drown
they
out
call
the
noise.
You with the drama or call you with the negativity.
Uh-huh.
That's the friend you need to let go.
Let them go.
Yeah,
and you don't have to necessarily let them go.
But
they just can't be
way.
No influence
yeah.
in what you're doing. You
right.
got to hear them and don't hear them.
Yeah,
you know, just like okay, well, I thought about something because I was kind of doing some things and I had a lot of negative people coming at
right.
me.
Right,
and I realized it hit me just recently. Say, wait a minute, they can criticize what I'm doing, but they ain't doing.
They ain't
nothing.
Doing
exactly.
nothing. Ain't donating a dollar.
That's the thing.
They
ain't
doing
like,
nothing.
Right.
But they got a lot to say
right.
about what I'm doing.
A lot of
negative.
They do what you're doing. They're not doing it, but they see you doing it before them. They kind of feel some type of
they
way.
Yeah.
You know what
they
I'm saying? And this is how it goes. But
Right. Some people see your success as their failure, and
right.
it's not like that.
It's not like
but
that.
But that's the mindset.
It's
that
not
they
like
have.
That at all.
Right.
It's not like that at all. But definitely find some people. Whether it's, and I, you know, I'm a church person, and I think that the church should, and if it's not, then you need to find a church that's providing you with this support,
right.
this type of support that you need. Mm-hmm. And churches should be able to provide that kind of an energy that gives you the momentum to go, to do, and mm-hmm. to pursue it.
Right.
I keep these babies, including myself, my son. My son has a learning disability. He's doing much, much better. And I was keeping these other little babies. They too have a learning disability. And when I started keeping them, they were like 3. And I started very early with them saying, "Oh my God, you're smart. Wow, little things that they could do. That is just amazing." Mm-hmm. I one of them took my little iPad and he made a little movie and then wrote down the credits at the bottom and then ran it down. And I just said, "Oh my God, we're putting this on YouTube."
That's good. Yeah.
And you know what? This little boy now is playing the piano. His brother is singing and playing the bass guitar. My son is playing the drums.
Okay.
All 3 of these kids were labeled by the school system as having a learning disability.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what encouragement gave them, just to be able to say, "I think you can do that."
Yeah. That's all they need.
Yeah.
We set him on the drum, on the piano. And I don't know what led me to do that. I just set him on the piano and said, "Go sit on the piano during service. Just go sit there and play." It wasn't so much other noise going on in mm-hmm. there that could nobody hear him play. And finally, he learned he started playing "Beat It" by Michael Jackson. And then they put him on the organ, and I told my brother, I said, "Show him a few chords." Now the boy is playing the shout music.
What?
He is like 6, 8, he turned 11 yesterday. Hey, Tristan, he turned 11 yesterday. He turned 11 yesterday. Happy birthday, Tristan. And he started playing, and now this kid is just playing. But it started with encouragement.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right.
That's very important, too. Mm-hmm. I think people need to understand, especially for your kids.
Once you shoot down a dream, it's just like they'll never want to try to
exactly.
do anything.
Exactly. It started with encouragement.
Right.
Nobody's called in yet. Remember, the line is open. It's 214-717-4678. So we talking about encouraging. So you want to be around people who going to encourage you and convince you.
Right.
Convince you that you're going to do it.
Right.
Now, okay. I have a lot of friends, and I have a handful of friends that stand in the gap and convince me,
mm-hmm.
and will sit down and say, "Oh no, no, no! You don't need to do that."
Right.
Mm-hmm. I know when I first started my counseling, wanting to do this counseling, I was trying to drag all my friends with me, and I was like, "Okay, y'all, let's come on and do this together."
Mm-hmm.
And all of them was like, "No, you go." I was like, "Come on, y'all, we all gonna do this." Like, "No, you go." And when I decided to do this show, and I thought about what the name, I kept praying, said, "Lord, what do we want this name to be?" And he brought to me, "You better call Kim." I said, "Well, they did tell me to go out there by myself."
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. And so that was my friends encouraging me and convincing me
that you can do it.
That I could do this.
Yep. Because we doubt ourselves so much.
So much. So
even though we got the qualifications, the skills, the experience, and everything else, when it comes to doing it for ourselves, we doubt ourselves.
And I can encourage a whole lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's how it goes.
But when it comes to me, I need encouragement. I need to be encouraged.
Right.
And that's what we want to give our audience out there, you know, encouragement that you can do this. Whatever your dreams are, whatever it is you're trying to accomplish, you know, again, whether it is getting over some addictions,
right.
whether it is pulling yourself up by the boots and overcoming depression, or whatever it is, being a single mom, as we all are in this room, except my dad. We're all single moms here. Mm-hmm. And so we all know that plight, having to get up and do in spite of, and also face the fact that other half is not kicking in the way they need to.
Right.
Nothing.
Mine are like $40,000 or something dollars.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I charge it to the game.
I tell my son that, you know what, you got to pay the cost to be the boss.
You're right.
And so I'm the boss.
I'm the boss. Right.
You do. And I'm going to say that, too, because a lot of women, too, they'll use their kids as a reason not to pursue their dreams. And I personally think that the best thing you can do for your kids is to pursue your dreams. Right. Let them see you do it. Let them see you go through the process.
Yeah.
Because that is a lesson that they're not, no one else is going to be able
exactly.
to teach them.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, I was telling Danny on the way home from school today, because I was feeling a little guilty because I had to go pick him up and then go back to the counseling center to see a client, and he couldn't. So I was feeling a little guilty. So I'm going to have to buy him fast food to get, you know, and I'm like, so I said, Danny, I just want you to know that everything that I do for you. I said, when you get old and you grown and you, you know, have your own family, and you look back on this and you say, my mama worked all the time.
Right.
I want you to know that this is for you.
Yeah.
That I'm doing this for you. He's so funny. He says, and when I become a preacher, that's what I'm going to preach about.
Does he know already?
Yeah. He said, now, Mama, I said I might become a preacher. He said, I'm a preacher about that. I said, well, I'm going to be there to listen. So, yeah, I think it's important for mothers to understand, women to understand that, you know, a part of their self-efficacy comes self-care.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that you, while you out pursuing and while you out doing, it's important for you to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. There was something else that I read today that I thought was really, really important in self-efficacy, and I don't have it here, but it says that self-efficacy is different than self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Self-efficacy is about your ability. Self-esteem is about your self-image.
Okay.
And so, talking about self-care, it goes hand in hand, because if you don't feel good about yourself, you're not going to want to do anything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's your self-image. Mm-hmm. And so you have to have feeling good about yourself will play in to how you go about.
Right.
Achieving your dreams. And so we try, you know, we want to work with women and talk to women and men, anybody in the audience, that take care of yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Take care. Don't, you know, you're important too.
Mm-hmm.
You're important too. And even though we are single moms, and I'm a single mom pursuing my PhD and went back to school and got my master's at the age of, I think I was like 48, 47. You know, had been out of school for 20 years. My son, I had my son at 40. So I ain't going to be a grandmama for a while. You know, and so having all of that on me at one time, I was scared. Yeah. Initially I thought I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. But there was three things I had in my favor. One was my support system. I had my parents,
right,
my family, that I knew that if I couldn't be there, somebody was going to show up.
Right.
Somebody, I could call on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing was I had those milestones already behind me.
Mm-hmm.
I'd already accomplished the bachelor's.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd already had a good career.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that. So I knew that I had the ability to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And last, I worked on myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Me too.
I worked on myself.
You have
to do
that.
It's a constant process.
You have to work on yourself.
It's a constant process.
Yeah, and you can't be afraid to do that.
Right.
You know, my mom used to say, you can lie to everybody, but don't lie to yourself.
Right.
We have a caller here. Let's see who this is. Hi.
Hi, is this You Better Call Kim?
This is You Better Call Kim.
Hey, Kim, I just have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
I was just listening to you this evening, and you know what? What you all are saying is really good and encouraging, and you all make that sound so easy that I can just pick myself up and I can just go and do it.
Mm-hmm.
You have a really good support system. I hear all the ladies talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you do when you don't have that support system? Like I heard y'all say, you know, you just have to do it. I don't think it's that easy. I don't think it's that easy for me. If I'm depressed, if I'm living, like you said, I'm living in a project, go out there and do that. And I see needles on the ground and just all kind of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hear that, but I don't think it's that easy. I really don't. I don't think it's that easy as you all are saying. So I need some encouragement for that.
Okay. I want to say this. None of us ever said it was easy.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not going to be easy.
All of us.
No, I didn't say y'all said that. Y'all, I said y'all make it sound easy because you're saying, okay, I pick myself up. I got my support system. Mm-hmm. I got this. I got that. I don't have that.
Right. Right. And that was a time when I didn't feel like I had that. I think, you know, last show I talked about talking about the support system, overcoming the domestic violence, being in a marriage of domestic violence, and how, you know, it was those baby steps. It was those small successes. As we were talking about a few minutes ago, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, but if I'm in an abusive relationship, mm-hmm. how do I mean, it's almost like mind control. I can't
get up and leave,
and I have kids.
Right.
I don't have nobody I can go live with right now. I mean,
right. No. Let me tell you this.
You're saying you got to take baby steps. I mean, what's the baby steps?
Let me go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was an 11-year. I was abused for 11 years in a relationship. So let me tell you how I helped myself get over this. For one, you're going to have to get away from the guy. You're going to have to leave the guy. Once you
Okay, how do I do that with four kids?
I had three.
Okay, I'm asking.
Okay.
I have four.
I'm going to try to help you
out. Okay, how do I get out?
Me, I wouldn't apply for housing, like public housing, so I can get my own.
But that mean I still got to deal with him while I'm there, right?
No. Are you married? Are you married to him? You married?
I'm sorry.
Are you married?
Yes.
You married?
Yes.
Him? Okay, well, for one, I would try to get a separation, some type of divorce, somewhere you can split yourself away from him, but go apply for you some type of public housing so you have your own living environment where he can't.
So even when I apply for the housing, I'm saying I got to stay somewhere. Applying for the housing, they're not going to move right away.
Let me say, I'm sorry. Okay, they do have transitional housing in places where women who are running from domestic violence can stay, and it's a secure place, your family will not be, I mean, no one will know unless you disclose that, which you shouldn't.
Right.
But if you want to find that out, you can contact typically like the
housing authority.
Domestic violence hotline. Even the police department. Mm-hmm. They typically have someone on staff that mm-hmm. deals with domestic violence and women fleeing domestic mm-hmm. violence
right.
relationships. And the state of Texas also has a lot of resources, financial resources specifically for women who are running from domestic or abusive mm-hmm. relationships too.
But I don't believe in divorce or leaving my husband. I don't believe in that.
Okay.
Well, that's, you know, one thing that we did say is that one, it's not easy and it's going to take some effort. It's going to take a choice. It's a decision. God himself is not going to come and pluck you out of a difficult or a challenging situation. It takes and it requires effort on behalf of the person to do something, to make a move in some direction.
But I have so much love for your kids.
I know that, you know, it seems impossible.
Right.
And the mind will tell you in situations, especially when you're in situations with people who want you to stay in that situation, whether it's
uh-huh.
a husband or a family member or friends, and they need you to be in that situation with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. It's very difficult to. But staying in that situation cannot be an option. Staying there cannot be an option for you. And we're talking about self-efficacy and the confidence in your ability to succeed. And that is, and that begins with you making those very small steps. Those very, we're talking now about our successes because we came through it. But when we were going in the middle or on the other side, it looked like it was impossible.
Right.
It looked like, I remember going to a parking lot and sitting there and just crying and praying, Lord, when am I going to get out of this? How am I going to get out of this? And it was just simple things. I remember going to church with my cousins and I was, I was around people who loved each other
mm-hmm.
and was acting normal. So for a minute there, I got out of that place of of that turmoil, just for a few minutes, and that remind me of what life could have been, what life should be. And little bit by little bit, I tell you, I went back to my husband, my ex-husband, 7 times before I actually left him. I left him, but I went into a shelter. Mm-hmm. I went to a domestic violence shelter, and I went there for 30 days. And when I went there, I was on my job. I had a full-time, good-paying job. So it wasn't like I was going to be homeless. Mm-hmm. But I had to do something for me that, you're right, where he couldn't get to me, mm-hmm. where I could get my head on straight, where, you know, I didn't want to drag my family through it, so I had to face all of those doubts, all those things that said I shouldn't and I couldn't and I shouldn't do this. I had to face that and push through all of that. And I went to a shelter. I called a lady from my job, and I said, I need a place to go. And they said, come, don't even go home. Mm-hmm. Don't even go to your house. You come here straight from work, and we will take care of everything. And they helped me. I had to find some support somewhere. Because you're right, you can't do it by yourself.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Like, I don't have the energy. I don't have support, I mean, from
you
nobody.
You can't do it by yourself.
Like, I'm just in it by myself, and it's just kind of hard. That's where I am.
Yeah,
I know I need to do better. I know my kids don't need to see this, but it's just really hard.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. It's very difficult, and it will be that way if you don't take at least the small step.
Mm-hmm.
The small step.
And I was just calling because, I'm just saying, y'all didn't say it was easy. If I said that, let me apologize, but y'all were making it sound like you can just pick yourself up.
No, you can just do it.
Mm-mm. You just need to take one little step. Every time I try to take a step, I hear it come or something happens where it don't work out. So I'm trying to do it the best I can.
And don't give up.
I just wanted to call in and look, sound like he's coming in. So I just wanted to call in and thank y'all.
Okay.
Take care of yourself.
Pray for you.
Thank you. So, yeah, let's just recap so we can make sure everybody understands where we're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, you know, we all have gone through some difficult things and had to overcome them and horrific things, horrific things. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about mental health, we're talking about this from our own experience tonight.
Right.
This is not something that we're void from.
Right.
So first is... changing the people that you hang around.
Relationships. Yeah.
You know,
it's those relationships that can really keep you involved.
Yeah. And you know, yeah, it's hard to do that.
I had a guy that was 10 years older than me. So he was like dominant. You know what I'm saying? Very dominant and controlled me, took me away from my family, just had me just stuck, just him and my kids and nobody else. He ran all my friends away.
Yeah.
Did all that. You know, I had nobody to turn to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, my dad started worrying about me and thinking, like, what's going on? You know, he knew something right. And so he was like, is this guy? What's going on with this guy?
Mm-hmm.
And times I kept on lying, it's not him. We just, we good. We good.
Yeah.
Until that one day I had to call my dad and let him know the real. So,
yeah
you just got to get away.
You do. You have to get away. And in my case, I like I said, I went back 7 times because it was a lot easier for me to stay in that relationship, in that domestic violence relationship, than it was for me to face the guilt and the shame of being in the relationship. So I stayed in it much too long. But once I started kind of getting out and going around people who I could model, who I could see was doing things in a different way, it encouraged me. It made it easier for me to say, I don't want to do this.
Right.
I don't want to live like this. There's my, you know, I'm like, my cousin got a good husband.
Yes.
He ain't beating her.
Yes. But you know what, too? You don't know that because people hide stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that for the situation, but sometimes you on the outside looking at other people's situation and you trying to stay in your situation because you thinking... You modeling yourself after somebody else's situation, and you really don't know what's going on.
No, you don't. But they, whatever they was doing, it showed me that I ain't have to take this.
Right, right. It was a model.
It was a model for me. Yeah. And so, you know, that was the other thing. But I can't say that word, but having to see somebody else seeing somebody else in that situation and in a better light, seeing it as I see myself, wanting to have that. And then been having those small little milestones.
Right.
You know, every time I got away a little longer.
Yeah.
You know, it was a little more difficult for him to talk me back in.
Right.
And by the time I got to that very last time, honey, I was like, I'm going to a shelter where you can't even get to me.
I left town. I left the whole town.
Uh-huh. I left town and he followed me.
He followed me too.
Okay, we have a caller. Yes, caller.
Hi, is this You Better Call Kim?
This is You Better Call Kim.
Kim, this is your cousin. I had to call in and give you a shout out and just tell you to keep on doing what you're doing. I'm loving the show tonight. And just kind of was interested on the, you know, you all handled that caller very well. Seemed like she was just a little upset. So I just wanted to give y'all a shout out and just tell you, you know, girl, I love you. I got your back.
I love you too. I love you too, Vita. You know you. That's my other go-to. That's the one I'm talking about, honey. Her husband loved her, honey. I had to see how that looked for real. I didn't know what that looked like. I had to see what that looked like. I was like, wait a minute.
Right.
I ain't got to deal with this. Right. I ain't getting that. I need to change up my act, because this ain't supposed to be this way.
You know, you're my motivator. You know you are. You reach that PhD. You know I'm not next.
I know that's right, girl.
Well,
I love you.
Enjoying the show, and just wanted to tell y'all keep doing what you're doing, and women, keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
All
you.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye. Okay, so we want to finish this up. The last thing that I really want to bring in, we have about 10 minutes left in the show. That time went by fast, didn't it? Wow. To be successful and to have self-efficacy, we have to make sure that we're in a good space emotionally and physically. Our stress level we need to be able to manage that stress level. I learned this when I was in school by performance. And the performance curve, and that it takes some stress for us to perform at our peak. Mm-hmm. So
good stress.
It takes good stress, and so you know the idea that life needs to be stressless, stress free. That ain't gonna work, honey. If it was stress free, you'd probably be in the bed eating bum bum.
Yes.
You have to have some stress to push you up the curve.
Right.
But then you can get too much stress where you're no good for nobody.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So having that balance and making sure that, one, you're getting exercise, you're eating right, you're taking care of yourself, you're listening to good stuff.
Right.
You know, reading good stuff. You're resting. You're getting your mind, you know, rested, so you can make some good, clear decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are going to be really essential to you being a success story.
Right.
Like you said, the welfare office wrote you a letter saying you their success story. So you know what? Yeah. We're gonna have a society of success stories, a community of success stories.
Right.
Because it is so vitally important that we, as a community, increase access to this kind of mental health.
Right.
Because there's a lot of reasons for people to give up.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And if we focus on that, that's what we're going to see. We have another caller calling in. Yes, caller.
Yes, is this Jess called, Kim?
Yes, it is.
Yes, Kim. I am a first-time caller. I was listening to your show, and I just wanted to tell you and your guests that what you're talking about this afternoon is a very interesting subject, and I hope there are a lot of listeners out there that's listening to it. I've been listening, and you have given some really good information. Just want to say keep up the good work, and I'll keep listening to you guys.
Well, I really appreciate you. Thank you. And you know what? We also want to make sure our audience know that we have the Underground Queens on Friday night at 7.
6 to 8.
At 6 to 8. Mm-hmm. So thank you for calling in. And I think I know who this is. Is this Letty Proctor?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Well, you don't mind me shouting out to you, do you?
No.
Well, thank you so much for calling, Miss Lady Proctor. You are wonderful.
Yes, all right.
Thank you. You have a good night.
All right. You all have a blessed evening.
Thank you, too.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so we have about 10 minutes left here. I just want to recap as I always do. Is there anything else you ladies want to say? Can you want to put a plug in, a good plug in for your show? I tried to throw one in there.
Tune in Friday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. at UGQRadio.com. And we will be talking about real issues.
Real issues.
Real talk.
Yeah,
real
talk. I love these ladies because they're so transparent, you know. I love it. It was such a good experience being in the studio with you all last Friday.
Yeah.
That I
we're
wanted
glad
to
for you to be a guest.
Yeah,
too.
Anything.
Oh, it was wonderful. I think, you know, it was a tough subject.
Right.
Talking about sexual trauma is tough. But I think that it's necessary and it's good that there are multiple mediums out there that are bringing this stuff to the surface. And, you know, we just got to keep pushing it until we get it out there because, yeah, I'd say it all the time. I work all over Dallas. I go to work in McKinney. You know, I worked at Parkland Hospital and I do work at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, counseling people. And I've not yet seen that flood of people to come, of our people, to come in for the mental health counseling that they need, yet they're suffering.
Right. Yeah.
And we don't have to suffer. We don't have to suffer. There are too many mediums out there for us to tune in and to be encouraged and to find that space where you can move forward. You can be empowered and encouraged.
Right.
So I'm going to do a wrap-up here because we're almost out of time. Good show. Sorry about the traffic. For those of you who kind of tuned in early and missed that first 20, 30 minutes, the highways were down, and my dad, bless his heart, I'm driving fast, and he's like, you just need to calm down. You can't get mad at the drivers, other drivers. I'm like, there's not a car in front of him. But we got here, and we got here in one piece. I ran too light, so I hope I don't have to hold when I get there. But here's our recap. One, self-efficacy is necessary. The confidence that you have in your ability to succeed is important. It is necessary for you to get where you want to be in life. Mm-hmm. As you've heard in our ladies' stories, this is not something that is uncommon. This is not a new idea. This is what people do every day. They start by changing the circle of their friends, changing the people that's influencing them, changing the words they hear that are coming into their ears and the voices that are sending those messages to them, changing all of that. And then they start to take these small little steps, moving themselves out of it, moving themselves closer to their place of success. And then they replace those people that was discouraging them with people who are encouraging them.
Right.
Yeah, delete the negative and add the positive.
Right.
Yes. And so you got to find people. And I know this is not easy. I'm giving these as things that you should be working toward or you can be working toward.
Right.
This is not an overnight thing. Work toward them. Small baby steps, small milestones.
Make a checklist.
Yeah. Encourage, find people that's going to encourage you. And most importantly, take care of yourself.
Amen.
Take care of yourself. You can't do anything for somebody else if you're broken.
Right.
Mm-mm. I know you always want to help somebody else, but you can't help nobody else.
Right.
You help yourself
to death too. Yeah. Yes. And I always say when I talk to single moms, I use the analogy of the flight attendant in the airplane. And when they get ready to take off and they're talking about the oxygen mask, and they say, for those mothers who are traveling with babies, if the oxygen mask drop, put it on yourself first and then take care of your babies. They have to tell us that because our normal, natural response is to take care of somebody else. And we have to make it a conscious effort to take care of ourselves first. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to, I told my mother the other day, I'm sorry, Romeo ain't showing up at my door. Unfortunately, he ain't showed up at my door. My knight in white armor, he ain't showed up at my door. And I ain't saying he ain't coming now, Lord. I'm still waiting on him. I'm believing you going to send him. Yeah. But he ain't showed up yet. But my life can't stop because he ain't showed up.
Amen.
I can't stop being the boss.
Right.
So it takes small steps. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to get ready to leave you all. It is about 10-5 minutes before time. Do you want to have any closing remarks?
Well, it's been a joy to be in this environment with these young ladies and their stories, and I know that the people that listen have got the message, and it's up to them to use it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we just thank God for this opportunity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you. Yes.
It's been a pleasure. We seem to do good work together. We're going to have to do some other stuff together.
Yes.
We do very well together. And remember, my audience, if you're having a bad day, you don't know what to do, feeling down and out, need somebody to talk to, remember, you better talk to him.
Fishbowl Radio Network. FBRN.US. Jump in.
Hey, this is Big Meech and Night Train the Brand on Fishbowl Radio Network. Check out the show every Friday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time in the Red Bowl. You can hear Meech and Train R&B do-over, sports talk, money situations, new music, and everything Dallas Movie Kings. And you can't miss the Loose Cannon Minute. Don't miss Loose Cannon Radio.
On FishbowlRadioNetwork.com. Jump in. When it's time to advertise your company, business, product, service, think FishbowlRadio.com. The largest personality-driven internet radio network in the world, operating 24/7 with over 100 diverse shows, music, talk, news, inspirational, sports, entertainment, 750,000 listeners a month and growing, local, national, global. Now is the time to take advantage of the growth potential of internet radio advertising with FishbowlRadio.com. Call 817-633-4880 and jump in.
Customize your gear today with Ochuck. Ochuck provides top-of-the-line printing for all of your merchandising needs. From custom Chuck Taylors to t-shirts, sweatshirts, and even lanyards, they customize it all. Visit them at the Parks Mall in Arlington, Texas, or at www.ochuck.com. That's O-H-C-H-U-C-K.com. Create a custom experience today with Ochuck. You think it, they'll eat it.
Introducing the Ferrero Rocher cupcakes loaded with luscious layers of sweet goodness coated over dark chocolate cake made with the freshest and finest ingredients to make you say, holy cupcake, voted top 3 cupcakes in the DFW area. Wondering where you can get these sweet chocolatey goodies? Where else but Le Cupcake and Treats? Call us now, 682-999-8276. That's 682-999-8276. Or visit us on our Facebook and Instagram at Le Cupcake and Treats, where we make life sweeter.
House Catering and Event Productions is a full-service catering and special events company that delivers a fresh, fun, and interactive experience. Led by Fernando J. Asensio, House Catering and Event Production combines a superb taste, unique presentation, and interactive services to create unforgettable events and memorable experiences. Their passion for food and avant-garde thinking sets them apart and has won them awards and recognition, along with the trust of their clients, from which they cater to on a regular basis. Visit www.toscatering.com today. Toss Catering and Event Production creates the best experience for all your catering needs. We all know a picture says 1,000 words, but what's a picture without a frame? Art Frame Wholesale has what you need in order to bring your pictures to life. With over 1,000 frames to choose from, you are sure to find the perfect frame for any of your photographic needs. You can even customize your own frame to fit your most most memorable picture. With a minimum of a 3-hour turnaround, Art Frame Wholesale can print and frame it for any social events you have that are right around the corner. With Art Frame Wholesale, your laminating, mounting, matting, and glass options are limitless. Visit them at 11425 Perry Hines Boulevard, Dallas, Texas, or contact them at 972-764-0010. Customize your frame now at artframewholesale.com. That's www.artframewholesale.com.
Fishbowl Radio Network. BRN.US. Your voice matters. Jump in.
Yeah, I'm a small little kid.